Jon Stewart is back at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. Listen to The Daily Show Ears Edition wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to Comedy Central.
Welcome to the You Up podcast. Thanks for listening. As always, you can subscribe to Sirius and hear our show 8 hours a week, 2 hours every morning, Monday through Thursday on Sirius XM Channel 95, Comedy Central Radio. But you are listening to the podcast right now, which is where we pull the best clips that don't have any music that we have to pay for over them. Isn't that correct, Noah? That is correct. Thanks for listening, guys. We got a lot of good feedback on the podcast. Tell your friends, get them involved. I'm in studio right now with Tom Takkar.
I'm a squirt-o. Hey, guys, I'm Tom Takkar. I didn't finish the song.
No, and if you might not know, if you don't listen to the Sirius show every day on our show, Tom starts the show with a song where he inserts squirt somewhere in it. Because Squirt Nation is what we call our listeners.
Yeah, I wasn't really preparing there.
I love that one. I love that one. That reminds me of the trailer for... the Facebook movie.
Oh, yeah.
And where it's like a choir singing. I've watched that trailer so many times. That trailer's the best movie I've ever seen.
Yeah.
I love that trailer.
Every song should have a version of it that's just a kids' choir because
yes. It
changes the whole song.
Oh, it gets so creepy and like beautiful.
It's very
and,
creepy.
Yeah.
Children are creepy.
They really are when they sing. And Andrew Collin is here.
Puddle Boy.
Puddle boy.
Yeah, we did. I love puddle boy.
Andrew Collin, as always, on the show every Wednesday. Here on You Up, and then Anya Marina.
Hey, babe.
My BFF.
Hi, neighbor.
My neighbor. My old roommate. Great to have you guys here. This first clip is about a Raya date I went on. Raya is how it's pronounced, I found out. Is I just found that out. It's an app for creative types. There's a lot of celebrities on it. You got to get approved. It's a weird app, but it was my first date from the app, and I've been on there for a couple years off and on, and it was the first date I ever took on it, and the guy kind of, you'll hear the story, but we're with Des Bishop on this clip. He is in studio, comedian Des Bishop, and we talk about how a bunch of comedians showed up and crashed my first ever Raya date. Check it out. I have two dates. I had a date on Saturday night. Let me just like briefly get to that.
Yeah, I want to hear about this.
So I matched with this guy on Raya. Probably he's probably listening. I matched with him on Raya.
Raya match.
Yeah, it was my first Raya date ever, and I've been on that app for over a year now, maybe 2 years, and matched with this guy a long time ago. We chatted forever. He asked me out a bunch, and I just like never. He wasn't my like. I call Raya DJs jumping off of yachts, and this guy is a DJ. But he turns out he's like a really legit DJ. I really liked him. He's a great person, and he's like calling him a DJ doesn't. Everyone rolls their eyes, but he's like a legit working professional. Like,
yeah, there are good DJs.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yes, there are. And he started doing it when he was like this. We both have the same kind of career trajectory where we discovered what we wanted to do early on and we like went after it hard and fast. And so I related to him a lot. Anyway, I didn't know anything about him aside from that we matched and he's cute. And he asked me out a bunch and I just kept going like, nah, you know, I just wasn't in the mood to like go on a date with a DJ or anyone really.
Yeah.
And so I just kept not doing it. And also I'm realizing that I'm like really not ready to be loved in the way that I want my friends to be loved. You know, like you look at your friends' relationships and you go, he doesn't treat you well. Like you deserve to be loved. And it's like, until I love myself, I can't let someone else love me. So guys that I see as like potential like husbandy type, not that I want to get married, but guys that I'm like, oh, he could love me. It scares me, to be honest. Like, and
did you bring this up at the first date? Because I think this is a good first date conversation.
I literally just told a guy the other day who's been asking me out on Raya for a while and I matched with, and he's so hot. He's so nice. He's interested in me. He says all the right things. And I keep going, why am I not going out with this guy? Like, why? And it's like, because it scares me. Because he seems like actual potential, and I'm terrified of that.
Yeah.
So I told him the other day, I was like, I hate to keep blowing you off. I just want to let you know it's because you seem great, and I'm scared of it. And that's why. And there's no other reason than other than
and
that.
If you want this to go anywhere, treat me like a piece of shit and I'll meet you in a second.
No, I just told him like I'm not right. Like right now I'm not, I'm working on myself to get to a place where I can be with someone and be with someone who will actually love me and I'll be able to accept it. But I'm not there yet. I just really don't feel like I am. But in the meantime, I'll date people that like me because I like myself. Yeah. I don't know that I love myself
Interesting.
Yet. So.
You're just not that into you.
I'm not. I mean, I am. Like, I think I'm pretty great, but like truly deep down, when I see the potential for a guy to like love me and like really see me and nurture my feelings, it freaks me the fuck out. And that tells me something that I don't love myself enough.
But don't worry, you never will.
That's the next.
No,
we are who we are.
No,
it's
not.
We are who we are.
Oh, because Des, I used to hate myself. And I used to go for guys that actually kind of hated me.
Yeah.
Now that I look at it, that they didn't respect me at all.
Uh-huh.
And I used to want them so bad. Now, those guys don't interest me at all because I like myself. Now I like guys who like me, but they don't love me.
Yeah.
But I'm slowly getting to guys that love me.
Yes.
I'm almost there.
Yeah.
Anyway, so this guy writes to me a bunch. This is not the guy that I wrote, hey, I'm scared of meeting you. That's a different guy. This guy, I was like, oh, he's a deal. Like, I don't need to take him seriously. It could be a fun date. Might be potential, but who knows?
Yeah.
He's cute. He's, he was funny. He made me laugh because he goes, so he asked me out a ton.
Yeah,
avoided it for months. Saturday night I'm getting ready for my sets. I had a set at 8:30 at the Cellar, and then I had a set at 1:00 at the Cellar.
Oh,
so I had a big gap.
Yeah.
I set it up with I was having dinner with Anya at like 9.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, I'll be done with that at 10. As I'm getting ready, I get a message on Raya that said, let me read it. It was really perfect. It made me laugh, and I was like, you know what? Yeah, I will go out with this guy. And you know what? I'll go out with him tonight.
Damn.
And it was just perfect timing for him.
I
would have just kept kicking this can down the road. So he goes, I hope he doesn't mind that I'm saying this. He goes, before this, he goes, this is June 26th. He goes, Nikki, are you free on Thursday? I said, hey, I'm going to LA on Thursday, actually. I'm back again on the 6th. He said, oy vey. So not tomorrow then either, huh? I didn't write back.
Yeah.
July 7th. Okay, my last attempt. You free this week? I didn't write back. July 9th, BB, as in bye-bye, I guess. I don't know. BB. July 16th.
Big bitch,
yeah. I didn't write back. July 16th. So the last time I wrote back was June 26th. July 16th, a sad face that's like, ugh, like a sad face.
Man, I'm surprised he messaged
I didn't
much.
Write back.
Yeah.
August 4th, Nikki. This is Saturday night. I go, Mike. Because I was like, all right.
Uh-huh.
And he goes, I keep matching with other comedians, but then I'm like, Nikki is the one for me. I liked that.
Okay.
I liked that a lot. It means that I'm special.
I wonder who else he matched with, though, too.
I asked.
And I love how he says that to all the comics.
I said, ha, 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 what? And then in all caps, what other female comics are on here competing? Is it Claire? As in Claire Parker.
Because
Claire Parker, friend of the show, is on Raya. And he goes, I can't screen grab or else Raya yells at me, which is true. You can't screen grab.
That's right.
Then he listed the two comedians that are also on there. I'll tell you guys at the break. But they're two girls at my level. He said, neither are nearly Jewy enough for me. He goes, let me look who else. And then in the meantime, I go, I'm sorry to tell you this, but I'm not Jewish.
Yeah.
And he goes, listen, you look Jewish and that's good enough for me.
That is funny. So funny that was perfect.
And he goes,
you.
Anyway, I said Jewy, not Jewish. Big difference. And I said, okay, I'll take it. I said, I wish I was Jewish, so that's got to count for something. He said, our kid will be 25% since I'm half. So he's already joking about having kids, which it's funny.
Yeah.
He goes, can we go to dinner now? I mean, not right now, but like this week. And I said, possibly. I'm a busy lady. Where do you live? He said, East Village. Told me more specifically where he lives. I know you're busy, and I appreciate that. I liked that he likes that I'm busy.
Yeah.
I said, what are you doing tonight? I'm at the Comedy Cellar all night. Maybe come hang. He said, like, come watch you perform. LOL.
Uh-oh.
I know. But he's hot, so I didn't care. He goes, LOL, that's nerve-wracking, kind of. I mean, I don't have plans for tonight. And I said, no, not to watch. I hang out upstairs with friends at the Olive Tree Cafe. I'm there all night. It's not as intimidating as it sounds, but I understand if it's not ideal.
Yeah.
I go downstairs to do my sets, but you don't need to see that. He wrote, well, since I've been harassing you for a date, I feel like I should come put my money where my mouth is. But, well, I guess I don't have a legit excuse not to. And I said, I have a set at 8:30, then I'm eating dinner with a friend. I have another set at like 12:30, but nothing between. So pick a place and I'll come meet you. Also, I don't drink. I don't care if you do. I just don't want you to be surprised.
Okay.
He said, I don't drink either. Okay, so we can meet.
Bingo. Friend of Bill.
I know. He goes, okay, so we can. Actually, turns out he's never drank in his whole life.
Oh, my God.
Much like my ex-boyfriend.
Oh, my God.
He goes, I've never heard of anyone who's never drank before. And I go, my ex-boyfriend.
That's so funny.
The only people I know are like Mormons. And I was like, yeah, me too. And my ex-boyfriend.
Wow.
He goes, okay, so we can meet at like 10, 10:30, somewhere around the Comedy Cellar, or 11 or whatever. And I said, yes. And then I gave him my number, and then he texted me the place, and then he texted me. And then we met up. So before I go over to meet him, I'm at the Comedy Cellar. I finished dinner with Anya. I go back to the table where all the comics are. It's like Keith Robinson, Matteo, Lane, Jim Florentine, and a couple others. And Esty was there. Esty who books the cellar.
Yeah.
Was Rachel there?
Rachel wasn't there. No,
there was a woman in that picture.
Her name's Vaughn. What's her last name? Vaughn.
I don't know.
Patrice's ex.
Oh, it was Vaughn. It was Vaughn. Yeah.
She's lovely. I've met her a bunch, and I never got her name.
Cool,
and one of those comedians you meet that you're like, oh fuck, we've had so many great talks. I'm like, I don't know your name.
Mm-hmm.
What's her name? Fuck, I'm gonna look it up
Vaughn.
Right now.
It's Vaughn. Yeah.
Vaughn something, cool. But she's so gorgeous and cool, and I
she hangs out all the time though.
Yeah, and I should know her last name. It's really embarrassing. I don't. Anyway, so they're all there, and I'm pulling up his profile. And Keith Robinson's, I don't like him. I don't like him. He's giving the thumbs down. He's like, I don't like this, like, because he's a DJ and he has tattoos. So Keith is like just judging. And Keith doesn't like anyone, right? And Esty's like, I don't know. I don't care for the, like, there's a, she's nitpicking everyone's. And I go, no, guys, he's nice. This will be fun. And I'm sharing things about him. And then, and I go, okay, well, wish me luck. And I go over and I meet him at the cafe right next door. And I walk in and, it's great. We had a great time.
Yeah.
Great conversation. We have all the same, like, we both love the same comedy stuff. Like, we both graduated the same year of high school. We were both obsessed with Seinfeld and Conan.
Yeah.
And so we're just, like, talking about, like, old Conan stuff, which is fun because not a lot of people know old Conan.
Love old,
like,
Conan stuff.
Grew up on old Conan. Yeah. And we're sharing, like, stories about, we both have, like, really famous friends. So I know that's a dumb topic, but we're just talking about having friends who are, like, we were friends with before they got super famous and like what it's like. Like, it's a common thing that we have in common. And getting along great. And then I turn at one point to look out the window, and outside the window are all the comics from the comics table, six of them. It's Michelle Wolf, Keith Robinson, Vaughn, Jim Florentine, Matteo Lane, and Monroe Martin, all at the window acting. They're trying to be inconspicuous too. They're kind of like, they're acting like I'm not going to see them. And then they see me see them, and then they all start waving. I get my phone. I'm like, I'm so sorry, Mike, the guy that I'm on the date with. I'm like, I got to get a picture of this. And he's being such a good sport about it, and like waving at them. And Keith then gives a thumbs up before he was giving a thumbs down. And now he's like in full support. And it was, for me, the best moment of my year, I think, was seeing all, and these people aren't like my best friends in comedy. It was just, and then I posted a picture of it on Instagram. You can see it on my Instagram. All of them at the window, and it's so heartwarming. Everyone had the same reaction to it of like, what a heartwarming moment.
Yeah,
because it truly was. And Chris Fairbanks is a comedian in LA who had the best comment about it. He was like, I should have moved to New York. When I thought, like, he was like, the comedy community there is so much more supportive, and this is just a picture of that. And I'm like, you're dead on.
Is that true?
It's more fun anyway.
This is so much more New York comedy than LA comedy. Uh-huh. First of all, like, you can't really walk down the street and see your friend on a date in LA as much as you can in New York or next door.
Yeah.
But it really encapsulates what New York comedy is. Like, it's so much more supportive here. It's still competitive and it's still shit talking, but it's more.
This could be like a painting, though. That's
it really
like,
is like the most supportive.
Very funny picture.
You got to go look at this picture because it was just such a great moment. And I'm so glad I went on that date just for that moment. Yeah. And also, like, this guy was awesome. That was Des Bishop in studio with us. Next up, we have Dan St. Germain and Adam Pally, TV star Adam Pally in studio.
What a fun one.
This was so fun. We talked about global warming, I believe, which is something that's always on my mind.
Uh-huh.
I just got a alert on my phone that said climate change, and I was like, it's over. Every time I get an alert on my phone, I think the world is over.
Yeah, that's how we're going to find out. That is how we're going to find out the world is over.
Yeah,
it's a little notification, and your phone's going to buzz like when you get a flash flood warning.
Yes, exactly. And sometimes I get an alert, and I go, it's all over, and then it's like a fun salsa recipe. And I'm like, how about you don't push notification, a fun salsa recipe, New York Times. So we talked about global warming with Adam Pally. Here it is.
Of course you get angry. I think of myself as a pretty chill guy, but I do, you know, I have the same stressors as everybody else.
Yes.
And I like builds up, and riding a bike or running just like is really fun and good for you. And I know you have to do it.
Yeah.
So boxing in this like yuppie format, because it is yuppified.
What do you mean by that? Like
it's just like they give you an alkaline water when you walk in.
Wow.
You know, there's like a store on the side where you can buy things just by saying, can I take this? And they like, you get an alert, it's like $90 socks. Like, you know, it's yuppified. It's got that whole thing. They've got like lockers and nice showers downstairs that like give you like free deodorant. You know, it's like, it's a nice.
Oh, this sounds great.
It is really great. And it's good. And then 45 minutes, they've like concentrated boxing into its like dumbest, easiest to understand form.
Yep.
And everybody in there feels like they're a boxer, but you're like, they're terrible. And they're like, you're covered in sweat, and you come out and you're like,
and you're not paired up with anybody, right?
No,
you each
alone.
Have your own bag.
It's in the
stuff.
Dark. Yeah. It's in the dark.
Oh,
that's right. It was
the
in the dark.
Thing.
That was what freaked me out about it, because I was reading about
it. It's not like the pitch black. It's not like it's not like a learning annex
like
thing where
it's like
a
nice
crawling.
Club.
It's not like a museum and
an escape
a field
room.
Trip. Yeah. It's like a it's lit, and like they see you, they give you a number of a bag, and then you go to a bench and you do like a weight portion of it.
Are they like, Adam, like your style, arch that,
you know,
fat, whatever.
They do that, and
yeah,
and
I hate that
they don't know that, like, it's so obvious that they have a list of the names of the people that are taking the class, and they don't know who is who.
Yes,
like they never think that I'm the Adam in the class. They always go up to a different dude and they're like, looking good, Adam, because I'm not looking good. So like, there's nothing to say to me.
What if the lights went on and it was all you and children? Like, you were in the kid boxing.
I've had
that
the other
class.
Day. There was like this like Hamptonsy mom came in, and she had her two daughters with her who were no joke, like 9 and 11. And they were like right in front of me. And by like minute 7, I was like hands on knees, like, and they turned around and gave me that look where they're like, is this homeless guy gonna puke on me? Like, not a good situation for me. I was like not holding up for the class.
Do you ever, I've heard about these Orange Theory classes where they hook your like heart rate and everything up
and
so you can compete with other people.
I'm scared of that.
On a screen.
I don't want to see my heart rate.
Yeah?
I don't want to see
it. You don't hold the little grips on the elliptical?
Yeah.
I don't think that's right.
I doubt that they're accurate.
Yeah. I just don't want to be like hooked up to anything and then like all of a sudden be like, oh my God, I'm having a heart attack. Like,
yeah. I feel like
I would have that
the
really
competitive
quickly.
Vibe I don't like. I like to be able to quit when I want to quit, and I hate being in a class where I'm, and that's why I know people like classes, because it forces them to
the
persevere.
Other way. Yeah,
well,
I
like
think I'd
Flywheel,
rather have the motivation.
Yeah.
Flywheel is like that, where they like put your name up, or you can ask them not to, where they like put your name up on a thing, and then you're literally like stacked up against everybody in the class. You see how hard you're working compared to everybody, and that can be daunting.
Yeah, that sounds like that Black Mirror episode. I don't need that.
Which one?
The second one, where it's they're all like, they earn points by working
out.
The thing about Black Mirror is that show freaks me out. I've never watched it, but I've read every synopsis on Wikipedia because I just like
it's the better way to go.
It's the way I feel about the Saw movies too. I just like read about the torture scenes, but I don't want to see it.
I've never seen one episode of 30 Rock, but I love Alan Sepinwall articles.
Wait.
That's a deep cut. It doesn't matter.
Holy shit. You have seen 30 Rock.
Yeah, of course.
That was a joke.
Yeah, yeah.
I love Alan Sepinwall. His Mad Men reviews were always the best.
Yeah, he's a good reviewer.
Oh my God. He's
clearly
so
that,
good.
That sounded funnier to me in my
no,
head.
No, I was sorry I didn't laugh because I was just like,
no,
oh
people
my God.
Were like,
I was trying to process who that was.
Yeah,
I'm
no,
sorry.
Yeah. It's okay. You guys know we work in the entertainment industry.
Yeah,
right?
I have an A.O. Scott tattoo on my own.
So you can make an A.O. Scott joke and you can't even give a chuckle for that.
I didn't know where that was. You're getting angry at the audience for not understanding the reference.
Hell yeah, that's a good comedian.
So you worked with a lot of dogs in this movie. Was it as bad as everyone says it is, or were they actually like?
They're fine. Yeah, fine. There's
how weird are dog handlers?
Dog handlers are crazy and weird, but they've spent all their time with dogs and they talk to them like humans. So it's like they once they are talking with a human, there's such a nervous energy with all dog handlers and they're talking to a human, and then immediately they turn to the dog and they become this like warm,
yes,
you know, kind of ingratiating presence. But it again, like, it was so well planned and so Hollywood, and so like those guys are professionals. There's a whole industry that could like get a lion to read a newspaper on a toilet, you know. None of this stuff seemed hard for them or taxing. And I've been saying this a lot, but I feel like it's way worse. Like, people like, don't work with kids and dogs. Right. I think it's way worse to work with like straight white men over 60 than kids and dogs.
Oh my God, that's so funny.
It's just a longer production. You have to wait for them. It's like everything that they say about dogs and kids is way worse for straight white men over 60.
Yeah.
They have to take Cialis halfway through.
Yeah, they got to take medicine to keep them up. You have to
dogs
break.
Dogs will sometimes take their dicks out, though.
So will 60-year-old straight white men.
The lipstick.
Yeah.
We were filming on this show last year, and we had raccoons on the episode, and the two raccoon handler ladies were like, out of fucking Winter's Bone. Like, they had the crazy long white hair, and they came in before everyone else and be like, okay guys, be silent, these raccoons can get aggressive. And we're like, we've seen raccoons. Like, what raccoons did you pick that are like that are gonna attack us? Like, you picked the wrong fucking raccoons.
I always feel better when anytime I've been in that experience. I always feel better when the animal handler looks like an animal handler.
Yes.
Because I've been in it the other way, when it's like some young dude who like clearly was like raised through the ranks of animal handling, because like, all right, let's take a look at this thing. And they're like coming in on a Hollywood movie and they're like, okay, so the bird's gonna fly in through here as soon as I take the mask off. And they like take the mask off. It's like, wah! They're like, oh, shit. Like, Daniel, Dale, down.
You don't even give it a bird name.
No, it's not like that. And like, so, but I've seen that go like horribly awry on that way.
Yeah.
And I feel like the real ones are the ones that are like, you know, like the Cajun alligator handlers.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, they're like,
they have to start out. Like, I feel like you should have to get up to alligator. Like, you should start out with armadillo.
Yeah.
And then like move up.
Yeah. Well, the worst is when you're like shooting in a like in LA, you do this a lot where you're like the woods, when they like make you go to the woods in LA. It's really not the woods, it's just a patch of trees in the desert.
Yeah.
That like looked like the tree, like, and so no matter what, anytime you're shooting there, they're like about to roll and you'll turn around and you'll see a guy that looks like Charlie Daniels with like a metal gripper.
Who's
like just flicking through the brush, and you're like, what are you doing? He's like, looking for rattlers. And you're like, oh my God, right, there's snakes all over the ground.
When I went to the silent retreat, yes, I'm that douchey, but I walked through the paths and there was like, it was like a meditative retreat, but there was like signs for rattlesnakes everywhere.
Oh,
I'm like,
God.
How am I supposed
to meditate?
Yeah,
that's crazy.
When I'm worried about being poisoned.
Well, I just heard a statistic about black widow spiders, that a black widow spider hasn't killed anyone, a human being, in like 50 years.
Damn.
And yet we all live in this fear of like,
it's the name.
They will kill you if you get bit.
The name is very scary.
It is a tough name. Black Widow.
Because
those little brown recluses are the ones that kill everybody.
Well, those are the ones where you'll lose your leg. Oh, those pictures are so gnarly.
Yeah.
People just have holes in their legs.
We had those all around our house. It was
Jesus,
fucking terrifying.
Really?
Like outside, but in Indiana.
Oh, God.
Indiana, man. I went to school in Evansville. Man, it's depressing.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Oh, man, that sucks.
Yeah, no, it's like the worst. But I think everything, now with like global warming, the stuff we're going to worry about are all these diseases we thought were gone in like the 1900s, because now, because the temperatures are getting warm, they can just come from South America.
The bubonic plague. And
stuff. Like that's going to be the new thing.
Yeah.
Oh, God,
that's
I couldn't sleep last night because I just kept reading about like, the heat waves that are coming are going to, in the next 20 years...
Yeah.
Mass deaths because of heat waves. Like, we just can't handle it, and it's going to be irreversible. Like, the climate change stuff. But then I look and I go, you know what? We're just in it right now, and that's why we're thinking about it. But then it's going to be cold this winter, and they're like, it's going to, the cold fronts, we're going to be talking about that. everything just... Yeah. I was like going through my old Instagram feed and like I'll always find some new climate change thing that I put up and I'm like, we're all doomed. And I'm like, oh yeah, that was the month straws were going to ruin us all. But it's always going to be something.
That's true. And it's always been,
so just keep
too.
Consuming and trashing the planet because, listen, it's always going to be something.
No, try your best, but don't worry to death.
Literally, have you seen that picture of a turtle with a straw in its mouth?
Yeah, that was enough.
Sounds adorable.
It literally is adorable.
It's the only way
that
I can come.
That was my point. It looks cute. Everyone's been, because I've been talking about straws, but everyone's like, oh, the turtle straw. And I haven't seen the turtle straw. It looks like an ad for like Pepsi. Like a turtle. Have you seen, are you looking
I'm
it
looking
up?
It up now.
It is so cute.
Well, wasn't the polar bears were
those are fun.
Yeah, the polar bears, someone got that inspiration from seeing garbage wash up in Antarctica, right?
Like, oh my God.
That is just a garbage.
You mean the Coca-Cola
yeah,
polar
those,
bears?
That's just bears playing with garbage.
Oh my God, that's so funny. Because you're right, those commercials were like polar bears discovering
it's like this endangered
Coke.
Species that like comes across a Coke and like bangs it around. There's like a little drop left and they're like, oh.
You're right. That's so nuts.
Yeah.
And the baby polar bear's tangled in the six-pack
yeah.
thing.
Yeah, and so it's adorable. It's adorable.
Santa's over it, like, well, Merry Christmas. Oh,
dropping garbage, like yeah, yeah. flames and carbon footprint from the sleigh.
Yeah, no. Yeah.
Yeah, there's nothing sadder than, like, there's never good news about polar bears.
No.
I don't think there's ever going to be another headline about polar bears yeah. that's like, it's a polar bear's birthday like, or something.
And polar bear learns
it's
to
gonna
read.
It's not going to be like Travolta in Pulp Fiction, where, like, polar bears are back, baby. Yeah.
maybe I'm happen. Taking a bad stance on this, but like, isn't that okay? Like, there's no woolly mammoths. We're fine.
Yeah,
like, it's okay for some animals to like.
It's the cycle of life.
Like,
it's probably not good though. Like when you see those polar bears like emaciated, you're like, oh, that's coming for us next.
Yeah.
And I know I think
we're gonna get overrun by polar bears.
Yeah, no, we're just gonna get really skinny.
You know
I get really skinny.
I hate Hell those yeah. pictures of skinny polar bears. It just sets a body standard for polar bears that I don't
true.
Think
that
is
true.
Achievable.
Those pictures are doctored. They're doing a lot of contouring.
We
and...
need like an Ashley Graham of polar bears. Bears, you know,
and, you know, I heard that if you shaved a polar bear, its chest size would be like 40 by 20, which is unattainable.
It's not even realistic.
Maybe that's
so
why they're dying all those steroids that they're on.
Yeah. I mean, it is. Yeah. There's so many. There's no good news about the planet, about the environment.
No,
there's
everything's
rarely
terrible.
Anything nice. The yeah. wildfires. It's just like, when does it end?
Uh-huh.
When does the world end?
Well, I guess we'll find out.
We'll
next
find
time on You Up.
I literally think that my
up,
whole
go back
life,
to bed.
I just want to achieve a level of comfort where, like, when things start to go, I can afford one of those big balls that you live in. They're uh-huh. like, they have these things that they're designing for when the apocalypse happens, that there are these gigantic globes that you live in that can withstand, you know, floods and everything. And you just live inside a giant ball.
Yeah.
And I just want to be able to afford one of
where
those.
Where do you shit?
I think it's Hamburger Slimmer as you can buy them.
it's like a hamster ball, so the shit would come on
oh,
your head
yeah.
as you're like rolling
but
around.
They gotta figure that out. I don't know where you'd shit.
In like a hole in the ground.
It'd be so funny
I
if that's the one
thing
they didn't figure out.
And then it pushes
out.
It out into the ocean that you're
because you need
in.
Water too, right?
Yeah, I think there's
they
a
float.
Yeah, they float.
Oh my God, that made me nauseous.
Yeah,
it doesn't sound great.
It doesn't sound
like a good life at all. I'd rather just die in
why
the volcanic
wouldn't you just
ash.
Die? Yeah, I think I'd rather just be dead
because
than live in
the ash. The human spirit wants to persevere. Like yeah. we just want to survive in any no matter what.
But the balls that were left would be like so like it would be all these. Like rich white angry Republicans who can afford the balls.
Yeah. Yep.
And every time you see a ball, you're like, "This is the I'm gonna meet the worst person."
It's like seeing an H3. You're like, "This sucks."
Yeah. You're like, "I'm never gonna be excited to meet whatever this ball is."
Oh my God! That was Talking Global Warming with Adam Pally and Dan St. Germain. Next up, this is a Noah pick. This is Noah's very favorite thing that has happened
honest,
on the show, and
I'm
this
not
is
happy
Tom's
about what just
least
happened.
Favorite thing.
Noah
this
just
is
said,
your global
"This
warming.
Is my favorite thing."
Yes,
we've done a lot of things on this show.
For whatever reason, Noah was so tickled by this, and I meditated the other day, and I was remembering how Noah was laughing during the segment, and it brought me so much joy
she's
because she really
now.
Was I'm obsessed with Andrew's wart on his finger. I don't know what it is.
I can't believe we're talking about this a third time.
I won't ever stop.
So proud.
Literally, I Google warts every night to go to bed and soothe myself, and I watch videos of warts being operated on.
Yeah.
I have a weird thing. It's not sexual, but I would almost prefer to. The other night I was thinking, would I rather hook up tonight or dissect Andrew's wart? And I literally would have chosen Andrew's wart.
Damn.
I want to get in there so badly. And this wasn't like hook up with Andrew or dissect his wart. It was hook up with anyone I would want.
Would you want somebody to finger you with a wart hand?
No. I don't want to get it on me. I literally am going to get gloves.
What if you could hook up with a guy and dissect my wart at the same time? And I won't even have to be there. Just my hand.
It'll be like a threesome.
That would actually be the
best
thing
that could
ever
happen. And then Andrew will go jerk off in the bathroom.
Just my arm, though.
That's what I would like. Oh, my God. I if you show it to me, I can't stop thinking about it. Like
it's a flake. It's on the flake side there.
When are you going to let me get into that thing? I'm not joking you.
I'm playing hard
to get.
Tom
is so
is
furious
torture.
Right now.
I'm
he
so
hates
mad.
It. It's so disgusting.
I don't know
disgusting.
What part we're playing. There's a part in this episode where I got frustrated because we talked about it for so long, and then we talked about it again later, and then I was like, are we talking about this again? And you guys acted like I was crazy.
Oh, yeah, I did.
For not liking this.
Yeah, no. It is. Anya, what do you make of this?
I get it. I've Googled so many cyst and blackhead videos, so I completely understand your point
of
view, but also
Tom's. No one else is into warts,
though.
I need more wart content.
It's gross.
I know
a lot of people who are into this shit.
There's so many pimple content things and blackheads, and like you can watch pimple popping videos all day long. There's certain people with millions of hits, but no one's doing wart content, and I need more, and I want to make it with that wart. Okay, I got to get to the clip. Here it is. You are. And a bigger thing I want to get to is that Andrew Cullen has a wart on his thumb I'm obsessed with. Okay, here's my thing. I don't know if I'm alone here, but I'm obsessed with warts.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. I always have
you
been.
You get a look in your eye it's dangerous. I am afraid you're going to cut my thumb off.
Let me
like,
just say what I want to do with it. I want to just like dissect it and like rip it out. And I don't like popping videos. You know how some people like zip popping videos?
Oh,
I don't
I
like
know.
That.
Yeah.
I don't like those. Many people like those.
Yeah.
I like wart digging out videos. Mm-hmm. I like it to be like a dry, like crustaceous thing that you get out and you like, I love it. And his wart, I'm like obsessed with it.
You put
all
apple vinegar on it.
Yeah, the other day I like treated it at my apartment. Yeah. Like I put apple cider vinegar and it like
it's
really.
Crazy how much that stuff works.
It does.
I had some like weird thing like that and it like knocked him out like no problem.
I really want to know
what
if anyone else is into warts. Because,
what do you want to do with it?
Like, okay.
And
I want,
what, yeah,
here's
what
I would do with that
your
wart.
Obsession with warts start?
Oh, or like early. I used to take my mom's foot because she had plantar warts and I used to like, and my sister had plantar warts too. And I guess when I was 7 probably, the first time I saw one, I was just like, I need to dig that thing out. And my best friend Kirsten and I in fourth grade used to torture our bug bites. Like we like torturing things. So we would make X's with our fingernails and we'd X them. Kirsten one time came in fifth grade and was like, I burned mine with a curling iron last night.
And
I was just like, you're hardcore. But then I also like, I get hangnails and I love to torture those because it's just like skin, that dry skin that I just want to rip out.
Yeah.
And one time I was in art class and there was a glue gun and I had a like an open like hangnail.
Yeah.
I love when I get hangnails secretly because I get to like operate on them. And so I poured hot glue into the like open I was psycho.
Damn.
And it burned so bad.
It
burnt
felt
my
so
thumb.
So good though.
Oh, here's what I would do with your wart. Okay.
Here we go.
If it was mine. And I've had a wart on my thumb like that before and it went away and it was one of the
yours.
Saddest things.
I would
not.
Sell it to you for 40 bucks.
If I could get a wart like that on the bottom of my foot, I would do it in a second, but I'm just scared to make skin to skin contact with you because I don't want to touch you in general. But I what I would do with it is first of all,
She's staring at it, folks.
I would
her mouth is watering.
I literally it's I watch videos where people, like, if you looked at my YouTube, it is not ASMR videos anymore. It is just, I'm obsessed now that Andrew has this wart. I can't stop thinking about it. I know this is insane. I am very aware of it. But I want to, okay, I would take a razor blade, right? And I would X it, so I would just, like, scrape off the top layer.
Wait, would you slit Andrew's throat, and then get on.
I would scrape off the top layer, because it's like, that's the, and then I would get at, those aren't seeds in it. planet, by the way. Those are broken blood vessels. You know, people always think planet warts have seeds. They're not seeds.
Know that.
They're broken.
People always
I've tried
they
to
do. They always.
I didn't know. I've never heard this.
Everyone
I've
always
tried
says.
I've to avoid this whole thing my whole life.
No, you know warts have seeds, Tom.
If you look online and Google planet wart seeds, everyone says, oh, the seeds are showing. They're not seeds. They're broken blood vessels. And because the... It's so I would, I don't want to draw blood. I want it to be like a clean cut. But I literally, if I wasn't a comedian, I would go into podiatry. And if I could operate on warts all day, every day, it would be a dream.
You don't think it would get old, though?
I would love it.
It wouldn't get old every day? It would be at Christmas?
I'm obsessed. It's like, it's not a fetish. I'm not like getting wet from this. I just, I would literally... love it. You know that just, it's a satisfying thing to
would
me.
Would you wear gloves?
I don't know why.
If you cut my wart, would you wear gloves?
My mouth is watering, so that is weird.
That's insane. You talked about your date. It has nothing on
there. I would wear gloves, of course, because I don't want to get it, but I want to just like, and I don't want warts on dicks. I want warts on callous skin.
Yeah.
It has to be a callous, I don't like warts on noses. I don't like warts on faces. I want a planter wart that is covered in a callus that I can scrape off, and then I can dig it out and torture it and get it out and like, look at it when I get it out and like cut it up and like
what would you do with it?
I love when people, there's all these videos online of people ripping out their warts and then just putting them on like a desk and then like zooming in on it, and I'm obsessed.
Damn.
Okay, Tom in Connecticut called. If you have planter's warts, you have HPV. Yeah, no shit.
Hey,
that's
bro,
called.
Come on.
You have HPV, Andrew.
I don't know.
I think
do
so.
Do I get laid enough?
It's fine. Everyone has it. Like it's pretty much everyone has it. Ex-husband got treatment for warts. It was gross. Kristen in Tucson. Yeah, it is gross. It's like, first of all, a lot of times they I was so mad because I went to the dermatologist once to get treated for like some other skin thing I had. And I go, I also have this wart on my thumb, which I loved to torture. Like it would never go away. And I loved it. And she goes, oh, we'll just burn that off. And I was like, okay. And she burned it and it never came back. And I was so sad. So... I don't like your noise. I don't like that noise.
So tell me more about this.
God, gross. I don't know why your noises gross me out, but your wart like makes me want to get to know you better. That was wart talk. Sorry if you didn't enjoy it. I hope you got to the end here. The last clip we have is with the just so kind and sweet and cool. I mean, he blew me away. I mean, I knew he was going to be as cool as I wanted him to be because he just seems to be that person. But Rainn Wilson was in studio. Mm-hmm. You know him as Dwight Schrute from The Office. What did you make of this, Tom?
Loved it. He was so cool.
Yeah.
He told good stories. We had a lot of shark talk on that one.
Yeah.
It was a good time.
He was just, you know, there's celebrities that come in here and they're trying to promote something or they're just thinking about lunch later. What they have a lot on their mind. He was very present.
Yes.
Whatever he's doing for a meditative practice, I want in on it because he was very present. He heard every joke. He laughed. He was just
there. Yeah, he was a good laugher. He was cool.
He was just like part of the team, and you're going to hear it now, and you're going to love it. Rainn Wilson, everyone. Rainn Wilson, hello.
Hello.
Yes, you do. Hi.
How's it going?
How are you?
Hi, I'm Nikki. Nice to
see you. Or meet. Well, I hate to be that person. I don't like when people go, it's nice to meet you, or it's nice to see you, or again.
This is you.
Okay, what's the story?
Okay, it's actually a good story. We met at the Tonight Show in 2009. It was my first time doing stand-up on the Tonight Show, and you were the guest on the show. It was you, me, and I was filling in for Paula Abdul because she had... a problem probably at the time. Woke up not feeling great. So they called me the morning of and they asked me to fill in for Paula Abdul. And I did stand up in the second chair position, which is unheard of, really.
Oh, wow.
And then Hooba Stank was the musical guest.
That is very weird.
Wow, what a weird and somewhat lame assemblage of talent for a talk show. I'm sorry. Throwing myself into that as well.
I was so excited that you were on. You made it legitimate and so exciting. I mean, it was...
But here's the thing.
Yeah.
My celebrity star has waned in the sky of celebrity, which maybe is a good thing. But now, like, I can't be like a first guest on a talk
know.
Show.
Like,
oh, you slip well, how do you think Hoobastank feels?
We're going after the stand-up.
Yeah, exactly.
What's the reason?
But it's so funny how that works, how, like, you know, yeah. like, when The Office was on and we were getting nominated for awards, they would beg me to come on Letterman and be the first guest and stuff. And now it's just like, oh, hey, I'm promoting this big movie. Could I be on there? Nah.
Yeah.
Nah.
You've been through each side of it where you've seen, yeah. you've been the first. What yeah. does that feel like? Do you even let it get to you? Do you care? I mean, does it?
You know, it dings your ego a little bit, but sure. For me, I don't really care. I had a great run. I'm a weird looking doofus. I wasn't yeah. supposed no. to be a celebrity. Thank you. That's
handsome
why I needed
man.
To shake your
yeah.
hand.
I relate.
We're brothers from another mustachioed mother.
That's right.
So, you know, it was such a great ride to get on that show and get to do that. So it's all fine.
Yeah.
It's all fine.
Yeah. And your first seed on this show today. So that's nice.
Yeah, that's...
Well, second, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, no.
I'm the second guest on the radio show. Oh, man.
It's worse than you thought.
Yeah. Incubus is coming in. They're going to kick you out.
Yeah. Third Eye Blind.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, that'd actually be great.
Well,
yeah,
they're
pretty good.
I remember I crept into your dressing room
Uh-oh.
When you were on the couch talking to Jay Leno because they didn't give me a bar in my room and I needed, I was drinking at the time and I was mm-hmm. like, I need a beer before I go out there and do my television date. Like, I don't go on stage without a beer in me. So I stole a beer from your room
nice.
And chugged it right before I went on stage.
Was,
like
I,
real
was I nice to you or was I kind of
you
a
were,
dick?
Of course you were nice to
well,
me. You were
I,
so nice.
There's been times when I've been a dick.
I'm sure, but like, you know, we all can be dicks, but in that kind of setting and I'm another piece of talent on this, you were so lovely. And I even, it was such an embarrassing moment for me because I went back and watched it and I didn't realize it at the time, but you were so lovely because I finished my set and I walked over to the couch and you go, oh, it's hilarious, so funny. And I go, thanks, Dwight. And I called you Dwight on camera so humiliatingly because I obviously knew your name.
Get out.
And,
I know.
It happens to you a lot, though, I'm assuming.
Sure. Yeah, it happens all the time. Ugh. Yeah. People. Like,
I'm really sorry
Never
that I was
on
one of those.
Show.
Yeah, usually not like other fellow performers in Hollywood.
Yeah.
Dwight.
It was so
embarrassing.
Guys on the street like, Dwight, yo, Dwight, can you get a selfie?
Ugh.
Dwight.
Ugh.
I get that a lot.
I would say every
and
day.
And I want to say, you are so charming and friendly that and relevant. Yes, I will take a selfie with you. No.
What do you do? Do you just go, no, like, what's your plan?
Fuck you.
Yeah.
Nice.
No. No, I try to always give a nice photo to a respectful fan who's just being a decent human being and is
yeah.
obviously a fan of the show.
Yeah.
But like drunken frat boys who are neither drunk nor a frat
right.
boy are shouting Dwight across the street. I just ignore them.
It's
good.
Easy to
good yeah. punish them. They should know.
Yeah. Yeah.
They should.
They shouldn't get what they
Murder
want all the time.
Them.
I
kill them.
I hoobastanked them.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Woo! You got stanked.
You got
hooped.
You got
Yeah, it's a delicate
What was crazy
thing.
Though? Sorry, Nikki.
No,
I know
please.
It's your show. The craziest Seriously. Thing. I went and did a play in Chicago, and the people in New York and L.A. They're pretty savvy about celebrity, and they're like, oh, and you could tell like they recognize you, but they're like, okay, there's celebrities around, and whatever, we'll be respectful. In Chicago, I don't think they get. Any celebrities
yeah.
at all.
Yeah.
And it feels weird talking about myself as a celebrity, but you know.
You're a celebrity.
Whatever.
Yeah,
I'm
too.
A recognizable former sitcom figure. But they just go crazy. They just went crazy in Chicago. I mean, they would paw at my clothes and grab my arm on the subway
Whoa.
And just like be shaking. A girl came up with tears running down her face.
Man.
Like,
oh my God.
They don't get any kind of celebrities. You would be huge
yeah.
in Chicago.
Yeah.
Would.
I'm going next weekend.
Nice.
Yeah.
What's your deal? Who are you?
Isn't he
Are you a stand-up?
He gets recognized on the street and he's not been on anything. Like people just want a picture with you.
I know he's yeah. got a great What is your name again?
Ian Fidance.
Finance?
Fidance.
Fidance.
Finance with a D.
Fidance.
And he's hilarious. He's he's just
I want to manage your career.
Let's do it.
I feel like I want to like take him to Hollywood and be like, this is Ian Fidance.
That's right.
And he's an actor. I mean, he will be someone that people will be screaming whatever your character name is eventually.
Call at me in Chicago, baby.
Yeah. I love that because you are a character actor guy, much like Rain was. Rain, I was researching you this morning. You were in Almost Famous, which is one of my favorite movies.
It's my first film.
And I know, tell me about that experience and tell me about booking that movie, how exciting that was. I mean, that's a huge movie to book as your first film.
Yeah, you know, I put myself on tape in New York and then, you know, didn't hear anything. Like I didn't hear about anything from most of the auditions that I did. And then had moved to LA and then just got a call, like, you've got a call back. And I was like, holy shit. And they were like, you can read the script, but it's under lock and key. You have to go into Cameron Crowe's production office. You have to sign in. You have to sign an NDA, and you can only read it in the office, and you can't take it with you or take any pictures. They confiscated any cameras or phone. So I went. It was like this sacred pilgrimage of like going down to Vinyl Films in Santa Monica, and they brought it out like on a silver tray, and like there was like a chorus of angels going
like the suitcase in Pulp Fiction,
lighting up. And it's truly one of the great screenplays ever written, especially the full one, the like 200 page version. Full screenplay is it's a novel. You laugh, you cry, you're just. And I sat there and read the whole thing. I was like crying and laughing. And of course, I was just auditioning for small roles, but it was super cool. And then I went in and met Cameron Crowe, who's one of the coolest human beings. And I'm sitting on a little chair in his office, and he comes in flip flops and sits cross legged on the floor in front of me.
What? Oh,
with God. A little like handy cam to film the audition. But totally like disarming, like, hey man, I totally love that audition you did. You were so funny, and like, let's figure out, let's read these things, and you have any ideas, like, what you want to play or how you want to play it, and just totally collaborative and very very different experience than auditioning for most people.
Yeah, an ideal audition, I would say, because you felt comfortable and he was rooting for you in that moment.
Yeah,
and he already liked what you had done, and you did do something really. You made a lot of hard choices on that character. I mean, it really stands out to me as soon as, and I didn't even realize it was you until I read that this morning. I was like, oh my God, of course I know that guy.
Like Ian's in that.
Yeah, right. You worked at Rolling Stone, the character was the editor.
Yeah, he was an editor at Rolling Stone, Dave, and now I'm blanking on the name because
he's an actual, based on an actual person.
Yes, and he's, and I met him. He came by the set when we were shooting, and he was Cameron's mentor as a young writer.
Wow.
And in fact, when I read the script, there was an amazing scene of this guy, Dave, with the kid at the airport. And it's a 2-page scene all about like writing and, you know, what it means to fall in love with a band, but don't fall in love too much because you've got to be a journalist, and just about life. And I was like, so when I got cast, that scene was still in the script. And then they call me like a month or two later and like, that scene's been cut. I was like,
You get this role and you're so excited. Yeah. It's still, you still really shine in that film. And I just love that was your first film. Because what had you been doing up until that point?
I went to NYU and I was doing theater in New York for the most part. So I spent 10 years doing Shakespeare and just little plays, some big plays. I was in a few Broadway things and regional theater, and I went for classical. I'm not in the comedy world. People always think I was like a stand-up or a sketch comedian or improv guy. I never did any of that stuff.
Wow.
I just played weird characters in plays, which kind of worked for Dwight, you know, to transition into that role from doing Shakespearean clowns to Dwight is actually not that far of a shift.
Yeah, you know? Bring that to that role. That really makes a lot of sense to me that you, I want to ask you about the movie that you are currently in and out, and that is the reason you're here. It's called The Meg. It's based on the I didn't know what it I just thought it was about a girl in a sorority.
Meg. Yeah, yeah. Meg. She's haunting the sorority.
Yeah, and
you guys.
It's the Megalodon, which is the extinct
the big
shark.
Yes.
And this is a monster movie and yes. And you play a scientist?
No,
or,
no,
you play
I'm
the guy
so
that
glad you did your research.
I did. You let him out.
Wrong.
My favorite part of the trailer is when you tell Jason Statham that he had an attitude problem.
Yeah, yeah.
That was great.
I play Morris, who is a billionaire industrialist who funded the whole scientific operation and built this underwater lab that the scientists in it discover this kind of like this secret area of the ocean that's never been uncovered before, and they go down under it, and then they unleash the Megalodon, who comes up into the waters to chomp on thousands of people.
Yes, and you shot this in New Zealand.
We shot it in New Zealand. Amazing. It was 3 months in New Zealand, which is the most incredible country on Earth.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Had you been there before?
I'd never been there before. It's amazing if you get a chance to go. It's a long ways, but man, it's spectacular. And it was like one of those dream jobs. It's like, oh, you're going to pay me all this money and I'm going to be in New Zealand with Jason Statham and cool. This is awesome.
But you spent a lot of time on a boat filming.
Yes. Yeah. So we spent a few weeks on a boat out in the actual ocean and shot some stuff out there. But most of it was that same boat that we were on in the ocean. It's so weird how they do these things in movies. They made another version. They made two boats. And then that second one, they cut in half. And then we were shot on the back of that half of a boat in a tank, in a giant, giant tank about the size of a soccer field.
Wow.
That's like 6 feet deep. And they put that boat in the tank. And then the giant green screens around it and the cameras, and they could kind of rotate the boat and turn it and stuff like that. So we spent months on that boat. But we had a lot of fun. It's a really fun ensemble of people.
I mean, it sounds like it. And you were there during the election. You said you were like out on the water when you were when the results were coming
weird.
In.
That was so weird.
Can you tell me
Take
about that?
Take us to Canada.
Yeah, exactly. I'm staying in New Zealand. I was out on the harbor and we were shooting this chase scene with the shark is chasing, about to devour Jason Statham. And that it was like 1 p.m., but the polls had already closed. And I was just keep hitting refresh on my CNN app, and the results were coming in. And there were only two other Americans. There was Paige Kennedy, who didn't care, and John Turteltaub, who's directing the film, who was so busy, you know, directing a $150 million film that he didn't have the time to care. So it was just me, and the other people are Australians and Icelandic people and people from England, and they kind of cared but didn't really. But it was
that's isolating, man.
Yeah,
that's brutal.
The scariest monster of all, the Megalodon Donald Trump.
Did you grow up liking let me just talk to you about sharks. How did you feel about sharks going into this? What was your knowledge of them? Are you scared of them? Are you someone who enjoys the ocean?
I like the ocean. I'm a real wimp around the ocean. So people say, oh, do sharks scare you? It's like, yeah, sharks scare me. But you know what else scares me? Salmon.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You were talking about that earlier. You're talking about going scuba diving. Seaweed would creep me out.
Kelp brushes against my thigh. I'm like, ah!
Yeah. I don't want to be touched. I don't like bugs and stuff.
Yeah. Like barnacles.
Yeah.
You know, like all that. So I get squeebed out by all manner of
even
things.
Even the water, the tides. Like, that's the thing that scares me the most is like,
like
you gotta
a riptide?
You got to swim parallel to the shore. You got to have all these plans. You got to punch a shark in the nose if it comes up to you. You
got
to swim parallel to the shore. You got to remember all these things out there.
The punch in the nose thing is kind of what you do. The main thing that you have to do, which seems so counterintuitive, is to just float there and do nothing.
No. That sounds like something the sharks put in your head. That sounds like more bad news from Big Shark.
Yeah. The shark's PR firm. It's like, tell the humans to just lie there.
But, take you know, it.
Cut yourself.
Seals splash around, yeah. And that's when the sharks go. So supposedly, if you just lay there, they kind of smell you, and then maybe have your surf suit on, your wetsuit, and then they're like, ask. Okay, you know.
Yeah, I mean, most shark attacks are just a shark tasting you and going, ugh, I don't like that. And so when people get bit by sharks, it's usually just a sample.
Which I'm kind of offended by a little bit. Like, what's wrong with us, humans?
I taste good.
Have you tried to taste a seal? Has anyone had seal sushi? They're
I've never had seal.
Like, humans are delicious.
We should start eating seal.
That is offensive.
I think sharks are racist against humans.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Thank you.
Finally someone said it.
Yes.
I think we need
hashtag.
I think we need to fire these
sharks. Racism. Yeah.
Shark racism.
Get them out of the water.
I mean,
this has gone on long enough.
You're canceled, sharks.
That's a bumper sticker. Hey, sharks, eat me.
I would love. I was doing as part of Shark Week, I was doing Shark After Dark, this like show, and we were talking about.
Is that a euphemism?
Yeah, it sounds like
it
a
does.
Sex show
it's a sex
on Cinemax.
It would have been
Shark After Dark.
It was
take a bite.
Oh, there was a shark
fin
expert
is so
on,
thick. Yeah.
And I was asking him about all these things, and the bite. I would love to get bit by a shark if I can guarantee to get bit by a shark and then not die from it.
What, like a little teething or like
just
a whole
chomp?
Just
to have a scar, a shark scar. I think that girl that has one arm is so cool. You know the girl that was young. And got bit.
The surfer.
I think she is so. I mean, I'm not. I don't want that. But like, what a
great.
Were
you on Shark Week with the guy who lost his arm or arms?
No,
there's a guy covered in scars with one arm who had it lost. An Australian guy to a shark.
Wow.
And they're like, wow, that's so cool. We're gonna make you the host of Shark Week.
Yeah, it's gonna be so triggering for him every day.
He's legit. You know.
Wow.
I mean, yeah. I think sharks are so fascinating, and I think that I care about them a lot and want people to know about them and know that although these movies are fun and sensationalized and make us scared of sharks, that they're really not. There's so many more things to worry about
sharks
in the ocean than sharks.
Too.
Literally,
I'm way more worried about humanity than sharks.
Oh my God!
Yeah.
And but also, like, it is even if you died by shark, what a way to go.
What a way to go.
You're
cool.
Going to die anyway.
That is cool.
The best way.
You're probably going to die choking on Raisin Bran someday, and it'd be way better to go out by shark.
I remember one time I borrowed my handyman's van to go down to Home Depot and pick up some stuff, and I pulled out kind of onto the street, light traffic, and started going in. I was like, oh, the seat was like too far back, so I went bent down to kind of pull the seat forward to hit the little thing, and then my finger got stuck.
No.
Like literally, as it slid forward, it slid over my finger. It didn't like chop it off or anything, but it was like weirdly stuck, and I was trying to drive this big van with my finger under the thing, and I was already kind of in the traffic, and I couldn't find a place.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, I am going to die in this van with my finger under the seat, and they're going to take a photograph of me. TMZ is going to come over, and I'm going to look like I'm going to look so grotesque and pathetic. Like, I'd much rather get eaten by a shark.
Oh, absolutely.
You should have a deal where, like, in your will, it should say, like, hey, if I die like that, plant a shark on the scene.
Yeah.
So it looks that was part of it.
You can make big money from that, like, shark planting service.
I always think about that, like, those times where you go, oh, my God, I could have just died just then, and that would have been the story. I always think about, on Dawson's Creek, Dawson's dad died because he was licking an ice cream cone, and it, like, fell off into the seat next to him, and he tried to, like, reach for it, and it swerved off a cliff.
Oh, God.
I have done that with Froyo so many times.
I know somebody
where it's, like,
who
dropped
died
the
like
spoon.
That.
Yeah.
They were making a bologna sandwich by reaching in the back seat. It's like a cousin of my grandma or something, but I was like, yeah, that's a dumb way to go.
I fell into
Sorry,
a
I'm
river
laughing.
Once,
no,
and when
really
I fell
care.
In, I went, woo! Uh-huh. And I spun around, and that would have been my last words. A pirouette and a,
For some reason, I think that's how you're going to go anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're going to get some kind of weird disease, and on your deathbed, you'll go,
Oh, I hope that's my last words.
that was the podcast this week. And as always, you know, if you stay till the end, you get to hear a secret. We all reveal a secret. Is everyone ready with their secret? I'm not ready with mine yet.
I'm not ready.
I'll give away mine right now. Here's a secret this week. I was going to bring in a shirt to give Noah because I often bring in clothes that I'm like, oh, this doesn't fit me anymore. It's one size too small. So I'll give it to Noah. And I was bringing it in and it smelled bad. It smelled like really bad BO. Like I had rank BO one day and I don't think I've ever washed this. Like I realized that I smell bad a lot of times. Oh, I have another secret too last night. Oh my God. I'll save that for the next one. It's a good one, but remind me next time. So, I'm disgusting is my secret. Like my secret is that I need secret deodorant because I have disgusting BO if I even allow it. Everyone here is trying to think of a secret. No one has one.
Yeah, it's tough. It's so hard to think of a secret. I think because we talked for so long today, it's like you put out so much stuff. I put out that thing about crying about my ex, which I think was like,
yeah, we've already revealed so many secrets.
Can we say a secret about the show?
You can do any, yeah, yeah.
If these people can't hear the whole show, though.
Yeah.
I secretly fear that I insulted Aunt Sally when I told her to turn her radio down.
Oh, yeah, no. That she didn't care at all. She,
I have secret
shame.
Yeah,
I don't think she gave a shit.
I don't, because you're only as sick as your secrets.
Yeah, that's the part, that's why I do this. Thank like, you. I try to, like, get out my secrets.
Yeah. Like, I secretly feel... I wonder if she's mad.
No way.
No. She's been through
way
worse.
She loved your
worse.
Music. She kept saying.
Okay, good. I felt
yeah.
I
when
felt-
I gave cash to your, but I didn't steal. But when you get so much cash, like you know, when you give it to your cleaning lady, and yeah. it's just all these 20s, like $120 wouldn't it mind
yeah,
if I just
yeah.
took it real quick.
I wouldn't notice.
You would never notice, and I would just
never
have,
notice if you stole cash.
It's so hard when you see a ton of cash to
yeah,
not
I have,
steal it.
I don't have a yeah. box in my apartment with a ton of cash in it. Thanks, Andrew. That's my secret. I'll tell you,
where
if you
exactly
rob me, I will not have that box anymore based on this conversation.
Nice.
But I know what you're saying. Like, that's why I trust you and
yeah.
my maid also, because I'll tell her, like, I forgot
but
to lay out the money.
Yeah,
will
you did
you,
it with the maid. And
will you just go get, and she goes, I don't want to do that. I'm like, I trust you. I don't care.
Well, in college, I would steal, like, my roommate had a ton of quarters.
I was about to say, yeah,
and I would
ahead.
Take a couple, I would, you know, I'd get a double stack, and you would take, like, $2 a quarters. So it was just
You'll
a little
notice,
amount. Yeah.
But we do.
I did that. I was going to say the only time I remember stealing from someone, my stepdad's mom had a big quarter pile. And my favorite thing to do was to play this arcade game at the local grocery store that sucked. But it was the only entertainment we had in Indiana. So I stole like a handful of quarters and got caught.
Oh, you got caught?
Yeah, I got caught.
Oh.
Damn.
So, yeah,
damn.
That
you know what?
It,
like, if you stole from me, I don't even care because you would have to carry around the fact that you stole from me.
Yeah.
And that would be way worse
but
than
I didn't.
Me losing out on $20. But that's how I feel about money being gone because I wouldn't notice it because I have a lot of money. And I don't, or in that box, and I wouldn't notice it. And I don't count money. I wouldn't, but. That would be that sucks for you that
right.
you would have to deal with that. That's how I feel. So steal from
I
me all you want and then live
yeah.
with that.
I hope
bitch.
A thief doesn't come because
all right.
of that. But, yeah.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for listening to the podcast.
Yeah. Oh, great review. And
hey,
review. Get on Sirius. It's like it's cheaper than you think.
It's way cheaper
we
than you think.
We do 8 hours a week, and it's a great time. And you'll be part of Squirt Nash.
Squirt Nash. Squirt, squirt.
Squirt.
Bye, guys. Squirt.
This has been a Comedy Central podcast.